And we're back with Brews and Reviews. I'm Jake. We got Cole here. And we're live. Together.
Yeah.
So the sound quality should be equally bad.
Yeah. Great. Can you hear me now? Good.
Well, that guy traded. He was Verizon. Then he went to Sprint. And they could not hear him now.
What?
Today we're talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi episodes 1-4. Had a great start.
No, it didn't. Okay. It did have a great start.
I was very enthralled. There's going to be a lot of spoilers in this because we really can't break down episode by episode. But we're 4 episodes in. We got 2 more left before the season finale. And, the first 3 episodes for me were great. There were some... I definitely had some nitpicks or some problems with it. But I was very entertained. I thought Ian McGregor absolutely killed it. As Obi-Wan, like the old, like, hey, this 10 years after the fall of the Jedi, and you feel that with him. He shows the day by day. I thought they started off very strong, but now we're getting to territory. I'm like, I don't think you're going to stick this landing, maybe, after episode 4.
I mean, I was a little disappointed that they went the route they did with Obi-Wan. Like, that's like the new hip thing, is like every single hero has to have a little PTSD from something. And it's like, I understand that's like when they first started doing that, they're like, oh yeah, we're actually showing that like they're human. But I'm like, it doesn't really fit with Obi-Wan's character. Like, he, like, even as like Anakin's going to the dark side, like, he's one of those people that just like accepts things and just like rolls with it. Like, he didn't seem to have like, even at the end of episode 3, the very end, like, he didn't seem like somebody in crisis as much as like he was just going with the situation, where I'm like, I get that's like a nitpick, like, okay, well, that's just what they're doing with it, so I like accepted it, but I'm like, eh, that wasn't my favorite. And something else I really hated that they did, and it's a very small nitpick, but it really bothered me.
Well, it's not small to you.
Yes. So. It is, like, when he's in the desert and he just sees Anakin. Like, oh, yeah, they do it every TV show ever, where it's,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that's, that trope is... But they're like, hey, we got Hayden Christensen back, gotta show his face.
I was like, you've got to be... Like, Star Wars has never done that, where you see the person that you die.
Well, that's not true. They're Force Ghosts generally, though.
Okay, but a Force Ghost is different, but, like, he killed... All right, he didn't actually kill Anakin, but he had this thing with him, and now all of a sudden, like, he has PTSD, and you see him, I'm like... I've seen this in every single TV show ever, and you're really going to bring that into it?
It's a very... I'm glad it was only for a second. Like, it was a couple seconds, blink if you miss it type thing, and they're not relying on that.
No, yeah. So, like, it was a very small nitpick, but when they did it, I was like, if you start doing that more than once, like, I'm out, just on that alone.
No, but they didn't. They did, yes. Just did once. It was, and again, Hayden's got to make his paycheck, man.
Like, yeah.
Because, I mean, Darth Vader, like... I don't even know. Is Hayden Christensen in the suit?
Yeah.
Okay.
So James Earl Jones never was in the suit, but Hayden
Christensen... No, I knew that.
Hayden Christensen I did know that. Was in the suit.
So, hashtag best Star Wars fan. No, but I thought... See, you're 100% right where we left him off in Revenge of Sith. There was hope, right? Like, the new hope, Luke and Leia. But after 10 years, I think Obi-Wan even hates sand. I think he gets it now.
Like, you finally realize that Anakin was right.
But can you imagine you can't use the Force power? I think what they're doing with Obi-Wan's character is good. However, especially after episode 4, I gotta say, it's not the actress's fault, but Reva is not a compelling character at all. And she is way too like, oh, yeah, I'm intimidated. No, you're not. Like, no, you're not. And like, I was going to give her a pass. I thought she was written that way. But after episode 4, when she's like, I'm going to go terrorize this child. And the child's like, uh-uh. Leia's like, not today. Like, I it was bad. Like, I'm like, you're not selling to me that you are intimidating. And you should be. You're an inquisitor. Like, and...
She's the third sister. She's not even the second or the first sister.
Yeah. There's like a fifth brother and twice removed or some shit too. I have never seen Clone Wars or Rebels.
Neither have I.
Well, that's not true. I've seen 2 seasons of Clone Wars. But so I'm not really familiar with the Inquisitors, so I kind of went in with a wide-eyed thing. I think the Inquisitors are a great idea. I think the Grand Inquisitor and all that, like, it's a really cool idea. But they kind of seem like we got to fill some space with different characters, and I don't know, I'm not really buying into them. But Ian McGregor as Obi-Wan has been... to me, like, the way he sells it, when he found out Vader was alive, when Reva told him at the end of, I think, episode 2, like, you can really feel it. Like, I feel like Ian McGregor jumped back into this role, and he's absolutely nailing it. And so it keeps me going. Like, that's what's keeping the show going for me, is Ian McGregor's portrayal of Obi-Wan is absolutely fantastic to me.
Yeah, and, yeah, he's a very good Obi-Wan. I do feel like, I know you really liked the first episode especially.
Yes.
I thought that first episode was very slow, but not necessarily in a good way. Like, I get that you're trying to build the, like, this is how he is now, but they took so long to get into anything of any significance in the story that I was like, okay, I don't know. Especially when you have limited episodes, I really don't want to, like, I don't need to see 40 minutes of you doing nothing. I can get the idea from 5 minutes of screen time that you do nothing.
And I guess I expected something like this, especially with the series, because they can draw it out. And I liked it. I really liked they showed, like, his mundane, like, day-to-day stuff. I was a big fan of that, because, like, this is what he's been doing for the last 10 years, like, almost nothing. And he lost his connection with the Force. He keeps reaching out to Qui-Gon. Apparently, after 10 years, he still hasn't figured that out. And, of course, I really hope they don't Deus Ex Machina, where he just comes in and, like, just stops, like, Vader's blade or some weird crap. It's like, can you please talk? I thought they were going to show in episode 4 that maybe to actually connect with him. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, at least how the show is going so far, I don't feel a need for this show. And I don't love this show. But I'm not mad at the show.
Okay.
Like, the show isn't ruining things for me. I can go along for the ride. I thought, by far, the best part of the entire show was when Vader goes to whatever planet that is and starts wrecking people and then, like, starts bringing Obi-Wan through the fire.
Yes. And actually, like, again, this goes back to Ian McGregor, but even Darth Vader. Like, when he finds out, but when they meet for the first time, like, you just feel like he's just in complete shock. And, like, you feel like, I don't want to fight him. And obviously, Obi-Wan's kind of lost connection with the Force, but they had a good, basically, if you use the Force, they're going to find you, and they're going to hunt you down, and they're going to kill you. So Obi-Wan's really lost his connection. But when he goes face-to-face with Vader, like, it was cool. I mean, it was cool to see that. And on top of that, when he's, like just dragging him into the fire, I thought that was really awesome and a great scene. And then episode 4 happened. It's like, hey, by the way, that kind of happened, but it didn't happen.
Well, the only thing that bothered me, and again, very small little nitpick, but, like,
you keep saying small little nitpick, but I feel like for you, they're a big deal.
They are, but, like, in the grand scheme of things, people would be like, oh, that doesn't matter. I'm like, for me, it mattered. But,
and that's all that mattered.
Exactly. Is that he stopped, like, Darth Vader was the one that stopped burning him, and he put the fire out. I'm like, that doesn't really make sense. He's like, yeah, bring him to me. And then they light the fire back up, and he doesn't put it out again for some reason.
And again, it's so funny because I've been watching them every single day when they've come out. And it's so funny because it's like, there was, that was that what you're talking about? Like, a big thing. I'm like, why did he let that happen? He's like, fire. You'll fire bad. Fire burn. Like, he just let Obi-Wan go. And, like, he wants to make him suffer. I'm like, no, I believe that when they said, take him to me. Like, everyone's like, oh, a couple of my friends were like, why didn't Vader just snap his neck? I'm like, no, he's waiting 10 years for this. He's not going to snap his neck. He wants him to suffer.
Which I'm like, why did he put the fire out? Like, to me, like, if they would have stopped Vader and then, like, somehow, like, the fire would have been put out, but I'm like, he puts the fire out. He stops putting him through the fire. Like, he wasn't burned nearly as much as Anakin was at the time.
No.
It's not like he couldn't have burned him quite a bit more. And then how they get away as they light the fire back up and he doesn't put it out again, which he just put it out, so we know he can.
And I hate it. I hate it when they say, and I know exactly what you're talking about, because episode 1 with Reva, when he does the mind probing Owen, I'm like, you could have literally done anyone else. It's like, why'd you stop mind probing? Like, you would immediately have found out where Obi-Wan was immediately. He was right there. He's right over there. Like, and it's like, why? Like, I don't know why they're writing themselves. We know Obi-Wan's not going to die. We know Darth Vader's not going to die. We know Owen's not going to die. We know Luke and Leia aren't going to die. What you have to do is build characters. This should be a character study of Obi-Wan in this situation. And they keep writing plot holes in for absolutely no reason. Like, why are you making me think like this? I know I'm supposed to shut my brain off. It's Star Wars. It's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But can you please not write yourself, like, into a point where it's like, now I got to make up an excuse for why this happened? And that's why I was like, no, Reva got interrupted. I'm like, no, that's why they have her, is what I assume is that her mind probing ability. And she had to pick Owen. All you had to do was pick a different person that she did that to. And then Owen could have been right next to him and been like, oh my God, this is scary. Instead, you wrote yourself into a corner for no reason.
Yes. Well, and I guess we would differ on this take because if you've listened to our solo podcast, we have very differing takes on...
Hashtag bruising reviews.
Yeah.
Solo. Plug it.
But like, Solo bothered me so much because they were not true to Han Solo's character at all when they made the movie, and they just kind of did what they wanted with a random story. This show, again, like, it may have its weak points, and, like, it may...
But it's got some...
It's not everything, like, that I would maybe want it to be, but I have absolutely no problem with it because it still feels like Obi-Wan. This is Obi-Wan, just in a different scenario. Sure, maybe he's a little, like, PTSD for me, but... Okay, like, that's the route you went. Let's just go with it. Like, even though it doesn't seem like he would have been the guy that had PTSD, who knows?
Well, I mean, 10 years again, Sand, yeah. Man. Sand does stuff to people.
I hate Sand.
But no, but, it, like, again, Ian McGregor, and that's the whole thing. Like, Ian McGregor's portrayal of Obi-Wan, and also seeing Vader being awesome where he just starts snapping villagers' neck. It's like, this is like the Rogue One scene. I'm like, oh, give me more, give me more. It keeps me going because I want to see these characters interact again. I want to see these characters again. And they, when they are on screen and they're doing their thing, awesome. Like, literally, like, but again, don't write yourself into corners with stupid plot holes. Like, remember that laser, like, I forget, I think it's episode 3, when Obi-Wan and Leia, which, by the way, child actress for Leia is absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what her name is, but she's going to be famous one day.
It's actually Leia.
they cloned her. Clone Wars.
Yeah.
No, but like they had that barrier, this laser barrier, which Obi-Wan had to take out for absolutely no reason because all he had to do was walk around it. It was someone showed me that meme. Like, yeah, that kind of ruined that scene for me because. But again, leading up to it, they get on this thing. You see the Imperial stuff. You see the stormtroopers. They do a really good job of building tension, even though you know he's not going to die. It's like, ooh, this could get hairy real quick. And so when the show is hitting, it's absolutely nailing it. But when they write themselves again into a corner and for some reason just give us a plot hole for no reason.
Yeah, like you could, yeah, do so many different things to avoid that easy plot hole.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's where the show suffers. But again, I mean, I'm going to be tuning in on Wednesday, like, for the last two episodes. Like, I want to see where this goes. And I'm really hoping they can stick this landing. Because after episode 1 through 3, I'm like, okay, they kind of seen what they're doing. Episode 4 is like, hey, Princess Leia decided to Princess Peach herself,
yeah,
and get captured twice. It's like, why are we doing this? Like, it's like, so episode 4 is the first one. I'm like, uh-oh, I got a bad feeling about this.
Like, see, and episode 4 didn't really bother me, I guess. Like, because the show has, like, a clear... To me, it has a clear point that it's going, and it's not meandering as far as it's not...
Like, say, it has a story that it wants to,
yeah,
tell.
Like, this is just just a long story. So versus The Mandalorian, some of the problems I had with that is every episode started and ended the same way with him and the child in the ship. And they'll go off on some random excursion to fill the episode, and then they were back on the ship. It's not like there was any, like... sense of a larger story until like towards the end of the season, then they would do something.
Yeah,
every now and then they had like these bigger episodes where like, oh wow, this is what this could be. I'm like, to me, this isn't the most compelling story, but it's a story, and they're just going with it. Where I'm like, I didn't feel jilted by episode 4. Like, was it as cool as episode 3? Because you had Darth Vader just wrecking people. No, but any episode that doesn't have Darth Vader wrecking people is going to suffer a little bit.
Are we psychopaths because we just love Vader just wrecking, just no. Snapping necks?
I think that's, like, out of all the things that the, like, the newer Star Wars things have not done well, they have nailed Vader.
Absolutely. Vader is way... You watch the original trilogy, which I have recently. Like, Vader is just not as intimidating as he is, like, after Rogue One. And, like, when you get to see him in this stuff, it's like, dude, this guy is absolutely terrifying.
Well... And that's the difference between, like, to me, like, a Vader and a Boba Fett. Like, I don't understand why people were so enamored with Boba Fett from the originals. But Vader was extremely intimidating.
Like, no, he was back then, but they're really...
Exactly. But now, now they're adding, like, he didn't have any, like, really cool action scenes or different things that he did to back it up, where now they're, like, providing that, which makes him even cooler, because he's always been intimidating, and now you get to see why everybody's so intimidated by him.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he's absolutely, like, I would not want to come face to face. Like, if he came up to me, he's like, you were late for work today. I'm like, whoa, I'm in trouble. like, they've absolutely built, and that's what I'm saying, like, with, you may not like the PTSD. Yes, it's an overused trope, but I think they're doing an okay job implementing that into why Obi-Wan is the way he is right now. But again, I think there's going to be some hope, and I think there is, ironically, hope in Star Wars. Who would have thought?
Is it new?
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, like, remember what Vader said to Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan thought as you did once. Well, I really hope they show that scene. Like, you have an opportunity. This was the story when Obi-Wan Kenobi was supposed to be a movie. I was actually excited for this because there's 20 years. There is a story to tell in between the downtime. And like I said, when the show is hitting, it is nailing it. But again, there are plot holes. And for no reason. Like, I could write myself out of those plot holes. I'd be like, hey, guys, let's not do that. You know why? Because Obi-Wan Kenobi, maybe for, like, oh, Star Wars for kids. I hate that. All the Star Wars fans from 50, we're all adults now, and we still love Star Wars. Like, please do not give us a reason to be like, oh, man, that's stupid.
Also, time out. Another, like, I was so mad when I watched it that they didn't do it.
Is this a nitpick or is this actually
extreme a nitpick. But
extreme.
Leia is like, oh, this is, she introduces herself to, like, the guy, the weird trucker dude with the mole face that's going to give him a ride. Yeah. And Obi-Wan says, hello. He doesn't say hello there.
I do remember
he
that.
He doesn't say it. It's like screaming for him to say hello there.
I know, because I literally put that out of my memory. I didn't want to talk about it because, yeah, I was like, hello. I'm like,
there.
Where's it there? Where's it there? It was right there and you missed it there.
But it was like an awkwardly, like, clunky dialogue to lead up to it. So it seemed like they were trying to put it in there on purpose. And then they didn't. And I was like, there's, I'm so not a, like, huge
Ryan
fan.
Ryan Johnson directed that one scene.
I'm not a huge fan of, like, fan service just to do fan service. But when you basically,
no, you set it up.
But I'm like, when you basically do fan service, you might as well just,
well, no,
finish
when,
it off.
When it's written where you could literally have said hello there and no one would have been like, well, that was weird and fan servicey. No, everyone would have been fine with it. No one would have been mad. If you're gonna fan service the easy stuff.
Yeah, that was, like, the one thing, again, nitpick, but
no, I literally had forgotten about that because I wanted to forget about that because I remember watching, like, where's it there? I rewound it. I'm like, did I miss something? But yeah,
and what do you think of the other Jedi?
Quinlan Vos?
Yeah.
Is what I hear. I didn't know a lot about Quinlan Vos. I don't, like, I know a little bit.
Wait, no, not, no, the fake Jedi.
Oh, he was actually really funny. Oh, no, I love when he comes in like, hey, we got him. Oh, no, how embarrassing. No, I think they did a really good job, and then it turns out he was actually willing to help. Again, I think that character is pretty cool.
I thought, like, I wasn't sure how I felt about it. I'm like, I'm not mad about it. I don't know. I can see how maybe this,
I was not mad about that at all.
This isn't super Star Wars-y, but yeah, like, oh, of course, I'm a Jedi.
Well, can we talk about, here's the reason why Episode 4 actually pissed me off. It's when they give Obi-Wan Kenobi the Imperial Code, and they tried to hide Leia underneath it.
Yeah, and it worked.
But, no, it didn't. They caught him.
Not because of that.
No, but it's like, come on. Like, it's one of those things, like, guys, are we really doing, like, the guy in the trench coat? Like, I'm not hiding anything. Like, that was the moment I was like, and then she's like, oh, by the way, I totally let him go. And Vader was like, Vader should at least smash Reva a couple times against the wall before. He's like, you're done to me. I told you what would happen if you failed. She's like, no, I totally put a tracker on him. Well, what would happen if those speeders didn't show up then? Because they had no way out. And you definitely did not set this up the way it's like, oh, you're gonna escape? Wink, wink. No, like, she was going to take him out, and then he's like, oh, by the way, I put the tracker on the droid. We're good.
Yeah, just covering your bases, man.
No, Vader should have smashed her at least a couple times against the wall, because he's like, oh, we're good, fam. He just puts it down, and, like, that's it.
No, and that's a, Like, to me, that was a very Darth Vader thing. Like, Darth Vader has, like, no tolerance if you mess up. But he's like, oh, you didn't actually mess up. Okay, we're moving on.
But he has this weird, and maybe they'll explain in the last two episodes, but the weird alliance, like, it seems like Vader's letting her get away with stuff that he doesn't let other people get away with, like, at all, without a little bit of punishment.
He was going to kill her, but he did not, because she had a better idea.
Yeah, but you think that, again, with the intimidation factor, just smash her. Like, use the force grip, like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Don't do it again.
You don't need a finger.
No, not when you have a whole fist. Anything else you want to touch on this?
Seriously? No, I think, like, I don't really see how you're going to be mad about this show.
If you're a Star Wars fan,
you might not love it. Like, this isn't, to me, this is not going to be your favorite. Well, I mean,
it might be. It might be someone's favorite.
Favorite show. But it's like, this isn't peak Star Wars by any means. But it gives you enough good stuff to go on, and it doesn't ruin anything.
Yep.
And I'm always a stickler for, you know, like, if you set up a character, don't retcon it. I can't think of it.
Don't ruin the character.
Yeah, like, and don't change your character to fit your story. Like, that's what the biggest problem I had with Solo, is they tried to make Solo a good guy when Solo's like a sweet-talking scoundrel.
And see, I looked at that movie a different way. I thought that's how Han Solo started, less trusting and became more of a scoundrel.
But I mean, they didn't, like, in the end, he decides to fight with the, like, weirdos, which undercuts his whole transformation in episode 4 because, like, he decided to come back and help. Like, that wasn't part of who he was. Where this is, like, that's actually who he's been all along, which I'm like, I don't like that at all.
Well, yeah, and again, I didn't feel like it.
It took away his redemption. It would be like if Darth Vader was like, actually, I was never really a Sith Lord. I was just pretending to be a Sith Lord. And you're like, oh, well.
Well, it kind of was. I mean, he changed at the end.
I'm saying it was cool that he changed at the end because he was a Sith Lord. It's not like, oh, I was just pretending to be a Sith Lord this whole time. Ha ha, surprise.
Again, it didn't. I think the reason why I love Solo so much is that Han shoots first when the dude's giving his speech.
Yeah.
That was an awesome scene. But again, we're getting off track here. I think this is way... So, I don't know if we... Have we done a podcast on Book of Boba Fett?
I think we talked about the first three episodes, and I refused to watch anymore after
that. Yeah, I can't say watch them, but if you want to see Mandalorian Season 3, you pretty much have to at this point. This is way closer to... And we both have positive reviews of Mandalorian. This is way closer to Mandalorian than it was for me, Book of Boba Fett. They're not ruining anything, which is... When you do something like this, when you take this project on, don't ruin the characters we know. Just don't. Don't do it. And it absolutely is not for me. As far as episode 1 through 3, I would give in probably a 7.5 out of 10. Episode 4, 4 out of 10. Like, that's how much that one hit me in a bad place. So overall, I mean, I'm excited for the last two episodes. I'm absolutely going to watch them. But I'm, like I said, episode 4 really made me worry that they don't know exactly what they're doing yet.
And I think it's hard for me. I'm just in a weird spot in my life where, sometimes there's no good shows to watch. And you're like, oh, I can watch a show, and you look forward to it because you're watching the show. This is, like, fourth on my list of shows that I'm watching right now for how good it is. Like, The Boys just came out.
The Boys is great so far.
Yeah, like, that's, like...
Stay tuned, guys. We will be talking about The Boys.
That's my shindig. So it's like, yeah, I probably would rate the show, like, at least so far, probably in that 7 range. Yeah. As far as, like, I'm enjoying it. I'm not enthralled by it, but I don't have beefs with it, like, just little nitpicks.
Yeah, just little nitpicks, but they're big deal. They're big nitpicks to call. No, this, like I said, episode 4 was the one that I actually started worrying. 1 through 3, they're absolute nitpicks I have. I talked to you about Reva with Owen, but it never wrecked the show for me to the point of, like, why did you do that? And it's been very entertaining, so I'm excited. We will definitely do a season, we might as well just do a season finale wrap-up at the end of it. We have 2 episodes left, so
yeah,
stay tuned for that. But other than that, if you have nothing else, Prison Review signing off.